kaleidoscope, collider, kaleidoscope, kaleidoscope, collider, kaleidoscope, kaleidoscope, collider, kaleidoscope, kaleidoscope.
Two meters in the medium wave band. This is Radio Kaleidoscope International calling all operative land-based pirates. Hello, all operative land-based pirates. We are about to commence a call-up. We are going to leave a five-minute pause. When the channel is clear, come up and call Kaleidoscope. Do not wait for an answer, as we're going to try and log as many as we can, as quick as we can. Then we will come up and acknowledge your reception and give you a report at 1:05. So this is Radio Kaleidoscope International now standing by for any operative land-based pirates. Roger, Radio Groovy Friday, Radio Groovy Friday. This is Radio Kaleidoscope International replying. Your reception report where we are is about S3, but I understand you're S5 in Southend-on-Sea. We do not know if any others have called in yet, as our monitor stations have not phoned in. Stand by, Radio Groovy Friday. You're fairly fine signal, been overmodulated by the sound of it, but don't worry too much about that. This is Radio Kaleidoscope now standing by with Radio Groovy Granny, Radio Myth, Radio Caroline, Radio 27, Radio Alpha, and Radio SRE.
We've just heard a recording from 1969 when Radio Groovy Granny responded to a call out from Radio Kaleidoscope. There were many land-based pirate stations in southeast England that popped up in the late 60s through to the mid-80s. Radio Kaleidoscope was one of the most powerful and well-organized stations who regularly put out high-quality music radio, always a joy to listen to. Radio Groovy Granny, on the other hand, was John Freeman, a 13-year-old schoolboy hiding alone in the attic of a small terraced house near Hainault Station at the end of the Central Line. Cobbled together from parts salvaged from old radios and televisions retrieved from fly tips, John started transmitter building in 1968. With no money apart from small and rare donations from a kindly grandmother, at that stage Radio Groovy Granny comprised one turntable, one microphone, and quite a lot of usable junk. At the time of the recording we've just heard, John had learned a lot from his experiments with low-power transistor transmitters and had just built his first valve transmitter. Living nearby was a licensed radio amateur who was quite approachable and keen to help a young lad learn about radio. He was more helpful than he realized, passing over copies of practical wireless, spare valves, and many of the more specialist parts needed for transmitter building. At the time, another amateur, F.G. Rayer, G3OGR, had his transmitter designs published in Practical Wireless. Every few months, another F.G. Rayer transmitter design, but they were almost all exactly the same, or very similar at least. Undoubtedly, at the time, most of the land-based pirates were grateful to F.G. Rayer for showing the way. The transmitter used in 1969 for the Kaleidoscope contact was still low-powered, less than 10 watts, but other contacts had been made using it in the Ilford, Barking and Woodford areas. Using the address of a school friend as a postal address, Radio Groovy Granny actually received one letter from a young woman in Newbury Park. She was very encouraging and evidently pleased to hear some interesting music from this most amateur shambles of a radio station. By the next year, 1970, a more powerful transmitter had been assembled, and Groovy Granny was in regular QSO contact with many of the London pirates, too many to mention or remember them all. But Bear of Radio Telstar was one who was very helpful in those early days. He was just Bear then. He adopted the Freeman name some time later, not after Groovy Granny's John Freeman for sure, but more likely after Greetings Pop Picker's Alan Freeman. Inviting friends to the Groovy Granny studio was fraught with difficulty at the best of times, but John visited Bear a few times and enjoyed sharing music and having a good time with Bear and Nigel. Number 6, who lived near Bear. John was having a great time, learning all the time and getting to know all the other pirates in range, but he met with resistance and negative attitudes from family and certain others. Comments were heard such as, "Huh, you're only doing this because you couldn't do the radio amateurs exam and do it properly." Is that so? Thought John, and in May 1971 he sat and passed the radio amateurs exam. Next time anyone had anything to say, John would proudly wave his exam certificate at them and say he was proud to be a pirate by choice. He did eventually apply for an amateur license, but this was many years later. Groovy Granny transmissions were always quite irregular, a mix of QSO with the other pirates and random music shows. John spent more time building transmitters for others than using them himself, one of the first going to school friend Chris, Radio Doris. Chris and John worked together on radio for a while. From about 1973 to the end of the 70s, John worked more with other stations. For a time he hung out with some of the East London radio crew where he got to know their very wonderful Della Ware, aka Julie Smith. ELR earned respect for their perseverance and determination, but for their technical standards maybe less so. It was through this involvement that John and school friend Paul came up with their new DJ names, R.F. Burns and Paul de Crystal. Then there were some beer-fueled nights in Epping with Alan and some other radio maniac folk. Regular late-night QSO on medium wave with some of the Dutch pirates, the Nederlandse Piraten Sender. Friends were made, as were trips across the North Sea to Hilversum, Deventer, and somewhere near Emmen to see them. A thing or two was learned about the very different way the Dutch went about building transmitters. By 1974, with the benefit of some income from a part-time job in an electronics shop, the main Groovy Granny studio was quite together and doubled up as the Groovy Granny Mobile Disco, which got occasional bookings for pubs, clubs, and house parties. To liven up the mid-70s dance floor, John started collecting Europop and rock singles and albums, the sort of stuff you never heard on any British radio station. Some of this went down surprisingly well.
And cold in answer 9 years old.
You the cold maids say one breeze and cold in answer 9 years old. All right.
Never marry a railroad. como tú, que no sabes ni la U. Con un requinto como tú, yo sé más que tú. Con un requinto como tú, que no sabes ni la U. Con un requinto como tú, yo sé más que tú. Con un requinto como tú, que no sabes ni la U.
Towards the end of the 70s, punk exploded onto the music scene. A number of pirates took to it, but once again, determined to do something very different to the others, John let punk more or less wash over him while taking more of an interest in other areas. Such as the Canterbury scene with the likes of Soft Machine, Steve Hillage, Hatfield, and the North and Super Sister. Listeners hearing a mix of Canterbury, Euro, Zappa, and the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band could be sure they were hearing our F. Burns on Radio Groovy Granny or some other station.
She looked like Anson Pulling, it was the cream of the commercial increase. Wondering what kind of freedom was the sudden release. She was naked. We dream of pan of purchase. Reveal philosophies like instant pudding. We need around the blue screen. She gives us soul to keep our minds clean.
Thank you.
The Groovy Granny name was officially licensed, so to speak, to two others, GG2 and GG3, and pirated by a number of others. But by 1979 the original was no more, as John worked with other stations. The very best of which was as R.F. Burns on FM station Radio Alpha, run by Keith, known as Ron. It had all come to an end by 1981 when John left London for Bristol. On the day of the big move he was helped by Julie, Della from ELR. Being legendarily hopeless at keeping in touch, John lost contact with almost everyone from the past, until one day in 1984 or 5. Julie turned up in Bedminster Down unannounced with three friends of hers. They'd come to Bristol to see if they could rescue a friend who'd got entangled with the Indian mystic Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. They spent a pleasant couple of hours, stayed for lunch, and then they were gone. In the years that followed, the only link John kept with the past was with Julie's brother Dave. It was he who made the effort, and for this, thanks Dave. Without this, John would never have learned of the bad place Julie was in, which, to cut a long story short, led to Dave and John rescuing her in a moonlight flit from London to Bristol in 2000. Where at long last Julie and John built a brilliant life together. Julie was always better at keeping in touch, and in around 2010 Bear Freeman, no relation, came down to Somerset for a weekend. Bear had played a part in the pirate history of both John and Julie at different times. In the early days, Bear sort of looked after John, who often visited Bear at home and listened to music together with Nigel, number 6. A few years later, Bear spent time with Julie sharing and talking about the music. John and Julie stayed together until Julie died of a rare cancer in June 2022. In case you were wondering, where did the name Groovy Granny come from? Well, John always told of his grandmother Florrie in Leigh-on-Sea, a very groovy granny herself if ever there was one. It was she, after all, who excitedly introduced Radio Caroline to a young John within a day or two of it coming on air at Easter 1964, and she knew all about the music of the day. But to be perfectly honest, searching back through the mists of time, credit might be due to Kenny Everett. It's not hard to imagine one of his early spoof advert type sketches selling something completely absurd. Listen carefully and you could almost hear him saying, "Be a groovy granny. Buy these battery inflatable sunglasses today." So maybe it was Kenny, or maybe it wasn't, it was all a very long time ago.